When historian David McCullough first published his history of the Brooklyn Bridge and Gilded Age New York, he considered it an epic story of American ingenuity, but he didn't see much resonance with the politics of the day. Now, as he told WNYC's Anna Sale, 40 years later, it's a different story.
Don't you think this is a wonderful thing to walk across this bridge?
Historian David McCullough has had a lot of honors in his career. Two Pulitzers, a Presidential Medal of Freedom. But he still gets that thrill crossing the Brooklyn Bridge. On a bustling bright morning this week, the 78-year-old and I started walking over from Manhattan.
I can never get over how they did it. And I still ask myself, how in the world did they ever do it?
The wooden boardwalks surrounded by those iconic steel cables and majestic stone towers overlooking the harbor.
Look at this.
Work began on the bridge in 1869, 4 years after the end of the Civil War.
In a day when every piece of steel, every stone had to be brought to the site by horse and wagon.
It opened 14 years later, in 1883. The towers were then the highest structures in New York City. It was the world's longest suspension bridge, and the first time steel cables were used. Also new were the underground caissons, wooden boxes filled with air that allowed workers to anchor the stone towers deep into the uneven riverbed.
All new technology, innovating, improvising as they went along. Finally, who are those guys? In other words, they're really good.
McCullough's book, The Great Bridge, tells the history of these really good guys. There were the legions of workers from all over the world who built it.
Here we are. Look at this.
And the designer, John Roebling, who'd built a smaller version in Cincinnati that proved you could hang a bridge by cable over two stone archways.
He wanted the two great gateways to two great cities.
Roebling died unexpectedly before construction started. That left his son, Washington Roebling, to take over. But he had a debilitating injury, so his wife Emily supervised day-to-day operations. The federal government didn't decide to build the bridge. New York City and Brooklyn did. Manhattan was bursting and needed to grow across the river.
Here we are right now in the exact center of the bridge.
Lining up in support were business people, the press, and politicians, including Boss Tweed, the political boss who was at the height of his power.
I'm sure there were doubters, I'm sure there were skeptics, I'm sure there were cheapskates. But no, it was a chance to do it, and the benefits, the profit, if you will, it would have been sheer ignorance not to have done it.
McCullough's book first came out in 1972, 40 years ago, just as Nixon's new federalism was scaling back the ambitious federal infrastructure programs of the Johnson era. He viewed the book then as history, but without clear ties to contemporary politics. Now, it's different.
The Gilded Age is about as rotten and greedy and corrupt and conscienceless as one could imagine. Sound familiar?
McCullough admits that today he'd like to go to Washington and knock their heads together. The massive transportation bill, which pays for bridges, road, and transit, expired 3 years ago. The Senate and House haven't been able to agree and instead have passed short-term extensions 9 times.
It's a form of indebtedness, and we have to stop it because it's dangerous as can be. And it's how we get around. It's how we function. It's not something theoretical.
But as we neared the bridge's end in Brooklyn, that cynicism lifted.
Look at it.
It's not as much how they did it, but that they did it.
What we build very often stand down the ages as testimony to who we were far more clearly and far more powerfully than the politicians who come and go or the generals who come and go. This bridge is about courage. That's what it's about.
For WNYC, I'm Anna Sale.